All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today is September 4th, 2025. And our top story this morning is the all-important labor market. And, well, it's not really all good news. There's no terrible news in the labor market today. Nothing's like, you know, got everybody freaking out, demanding 50, 75, 100 basis points of rate cuts or anything. But we, over the last 24 hours or so, we got several of those lesser labor market data points. None of them were really good. One maybe had a little bit of a silver lining to it, but they're all pointing towards that non-farm payrolls report, the jobs number that we get tomorrow morning, which is the big data point, arguably the single most important data point between now and the Federal Reserve meeting on the 17th of this month. And it's all pointing to rate cuts. It's all pointing to a labor market weakening towards, should I use the R word, recession? Maybe even we want to use the S word, the stag and the flation, the stagflationary nightmare of rising unemployment at the same time you have high inflation, which we very well could find ourselves in shortly. So let's talk about all these data points that came out in the last few days. First of all, this morning, we got ADP private payrolls, 54,000 jobs added for private payrolls. That's versus expectations of 65,000 and down significantly from the 106,000 last month. That shows a weakening private sector market. Now, again, guys, the ADP payrolls number, I have to mention this, it tends to differ wildly from the non-farm payrolls, but it is one more data point that gives us some insight into what's going on in the market. Now, yesterday we got the JOLTS report, the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. Basically, all the jobs posted in the United States. And that one fell quite a bit. And it fell to the lowest we've seen in a while. The number of job openings in this country is falling. And more importantly, the talking point was going around quite a bit yesterday afternoon. We now have more unemployed people in this country than we have job openings. It's a pretty significant threshold there. Now, I don't read too much into that data point, but it's not really for a good reason, because most of those job openings are bologna sandwiches, if you know what I mean. It's BS. They're not real. They're either multiple jobs, the same job posted in multiple cities thanks to work from home, or they're companies that are posting jobs just to make it look like they're hiring just in case an overqualified, talented individual comes along. Maybe they want to hire them, but really they have no intention of ever filling that position. In other words, those job openings, even though there's fewer of them than unemployed people, most of them aren't real. And I've been saying it for years now, guys. The job market was never that strong to begin with. People are just finally starting to admit it. Also, we got Challenger job cuts this morning. Now, an interesting thing we've been seeing this year is the number of layoffs hasn't been that alarming. It's been hard to find a job. The job market sucks. Ask anybody who's out there looking for work right now. It's miserable. That being said, we haven't seen the tsunami of layoffs that everybody has been worried about. But we did just get an uptick in Challenger job cuts, 86,000 in August versus 62,000 in July. So a slight uptick in people losing their jobs, emphasis slight. It's still not an alarming number, but again, into that labor market weakness that is significant. And we got initial jobless claims also came out a few minutes ago. That was up slightly from last week, reinforcing that Challenger number. And the one slight little asterisk or silver lining to this big gray cloud is that continuing jobless claims came in down ever so slightly from last week. But even that, it's not really such a good number, because maybe, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people actually found work and they fell off the continuing jobless claims rolls. Or maybe it's the trend that we've been seeing for several years. People just gave up. They stopped looking for work. And that's why they're not being counted on continuing jobless claims. And they're just going to drop out of the labor force. We've seen labor force participation start to creep down over the last couple of years. So, guys, this is all leading up to the increased likelihood of the Federal Reserve cutting rates on September 17th because of the recession, the stag, and the inflation. And then tomorrow, like, that's the big one. The non-farm payrolls comes out tomorrow. And even that, we've got this wild card of the new guy over at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Remember, after the non-farm payrolls last month and that ridiculous huge downward revision, wiping out the prior months of job gains. I mean, it was like Banana Republic statistics. And then, of course, we fired the statistics guy, which is just like, you know, if you're on the other side, that's also Banana Republic-ish behavior because, well, you know, when you don't like the numbers, you fire the guy reporting the numbers until you get somebody who reports the numbers that you want. So even if we have like this surprisingly good non-farm payrolls report tomorrow, people are just going to cry foul because it's the new guy in charge and suddenly the numbers look good. So this setup here is not really great for the job market any way you look at it. Some earnings came in yesterday and this morning. American Eagle Outfitters, that stock is ripping this morning off of the success of the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad. Apparently, that's what passes for controversy in America these days. Oh, my God, shocking. This just in. Americans prefer to look at attractive women in their apparel ads. I know this is surprising news, apparently, and people got all outraged over it. Okay. American Eagle stock doing pretty well here. Now, that company, their numbers weren't great that they reported. It's just the company was priced for catastrophe, and they did see some success with that Sydney Sweeney campaign. It created a lot of buzz. It got people talking about the brand, mission accomplished. That stock is up this morning. Now, we also got a lot of earnings from AI companies. Some of the lesser AI companies reported earnings over the last few hours here. And these are companies that should be doing pretty well. They're not. First one, Salesforce, ticker CRM. They are down big. Why? Because Agentforce, their big AI platform that they rolled out that's supposed to help customers automate tasks, it doesn't make them any money. And software as a service, that's, you know, one category where you should be able to implement AI and create some kind of efficiencies that make money for your customers. Salesforce sitting this one out. That stock is down big this morning. We also got Figma reported their earnings. Now, Figma reported a modest beat. Emphasis modest, but you got to keep in mind Figma, after their recent IPO, the stock rallied like 250% on its first day of trading. Nowhere near living up to those kind of expectations. Also, there was some news about the lockup expiration in their earnings report. Maybe investors didn't like that one. These IPOs, when they do IPO these companies, where they're doing the same thing CoreWeave did, release very few shares, limit the supply of stock. It creates an illiquid market that is incredibly volatile. And then those lockups expire and you get a deluge of selling. Looks like people are worried about that repeating with Figma. We got C3 AI reported earnings, or I should say it was an earnings report. There were no earnings to report. Revenue down year over year. Losses widening year over year. And the cherry on top, they named a new CEO because their last guy quit on a medical issue. But look, guys, the takeaway from these three earnings report, outside of hardware sales and hardware hourly rentals, AI doesn't make any money. Never has. Will it eventually? Maybe. It better be in the trillions of dollars based on the valuations that we're seeing and the ridiculous capital destruction that we've witnessed over the last few years. I'm telling you guys, this AI bubble is going to go down in history for just setting records for the destruction of money on a scale the world has never seen. We also got a big story from Goldman Sachs this morning. They're buying $1 billion worth of T. Rowe Price stock. Why are they doing that? Simple. They want to pump your 401k full of toxic waste, otherwise known as private equity and private credit. There is a lot of money. The big bankers and the Wall Streeters, they are just licking their chops. There's a twinkle in their eye. They're eyeballing your 401k, and they can't wait to park their crap in your retirement package, guys. As always, open up the prospectus in those funds. Know what you're holding. Talk to your guy. Tell him you don't want anything to do with this garbage. And last but not least, we got this story from the NBA. Not something I typically cover. Basketball, all right? Kawhi Leonard and the LA Clippers and what they did. And stick around to the end of the show for this one. Because you guys remember that scene in The Big Short when Steve Carell, when he's giving his speech at the end about the golden age of fraud. And I remember there was one like pretty powerful little soundbite in that speech when he's talking about how fraud is everywhere. And it's just something he says really quick. But he says, even baseball, there's fraud. At the time, I think they were referring to the steroid controversy that was going on in Major League Baseball at the time. But, it, you know, it was a pretty powerful. Like, yeah, man, even the crooks are even ruining baseball. Well, today they're doing it with basketball. That golden age of fraud in 2008, 2009, it never ended. They just took a break, and they're back. Wait till you hear this story about what they did at the Clippers. Just one of those shake-your-head moments. Guys, why don't we shrink my big melon of a head, and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. As always, don't forget that like button. And you new guys, hit that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm, because we do this one every day. So come on back and have your coffee with the melon heads tomorrow. Well, right now we've got the S&P 500 is just barely positive, up about 4 points or 0.07% to the upside. The Dow, meanwhile, is negative again, 32.9, almost 33 points lower ahead of the open. And the NASDAQ is up 14 points or 0.05% higher this morning. Looking over at the DXY, we've got a slightly stronger dollar, 20 basis points higher, 98.36. That's going to put a little bit of downward pressure on asset valuations this morning. Looking over at the bond market, we got yields are moving lower here, probably on some of that labor market weakness. The 30-year Treasury's at 4.867. That's off by 2.5 points this morning. The 10-year's at 4.179, down by 3 points and change. The 2-year's at 3.602, down by 1 point. And the 1-month Treasury is at 4.258, down 0.1 of a point this morning. Also, guys, in the bond market, something to keep an eye out. Overnight, reverse repurchase agreements, or the reverse repo, down to just $17.9 billion, a new low since the ridiculous COVID experiment with excess liquidity. Guys, we are a rounding error away from zero here. We're seeing new lows day in and day out. Day before that, it was $21 billion. That was a new low. Now we're down to just under $18 billion. What does this all mean? This is the excess liquidity. Like, let's look at a 5-year chart of this. This is all of the excess cash sloshing around in the banking system. And well, it's been coming down quite a bit in 2023. It fell rapidly into 2024. It slowed down a little bit, slowed down to a crawl. Now we're finally almost done here. What this means, guys, is the Fed is going to have to stop quantitative tightening pretty soon. They're going to have to stop that money destruction. Everybody's focused on the rate cuts. When is the Fed going to cut rates? Are they going to cut rates? Is it 25 or 50 basis points? Honestly, I think 25 is pretty much a given at this point, unless we get something very strange happens in these data points over the next few days. That being said, I would not be surprised to see the Fed come out over the next few days, maybe a Nick Timiraos article, the Fed whisperer over at the Wall Street Journal, hinting that the Fed is going to bring an abrupt end to their quantitative tightening here. Because there's just not enough extra money in the system, they're going to start getting worried about liquidity in the bond market. Also, looking at commodities, we've got precious metals are taking a breather this morning after going up in a straight line for pretty much the whole last week. Spot gold is at $3,548. That's down by about $10.80 this morning, or 0.3% lower. Spot silver is at $40.86. That's off by about 35 cents or 0.84% lower, but I like the shiny anyway. Metals, you know, look, they're not all up days. Sooner or later, you're going to have a down day. If this is what passes for the opening bell price smash, then metals probably has a lot more upside from here. Copper, meanwhile, down 1.1%. Platinum is off big by 4.3% in platinum this morning. Palladium is along for the ride, down 3.3%. And crude oil is off by another 1.25% this morning, $63.17 for October WTI futures. Looking over at Bitcoin, we are down a bit from yesterday, still hovering around that 111,000 mark. We're at $110,908 as priced on Coinbase, down slightly from yesterday, but still kind of in that range. All right, let's talk about some of these labor data points that we got now. This is the big news. First one, ADP. This is your private payrolls. Private businesses in the United States added 54,000 jobs in August, following an upwardly revised 106,000 in July and below market forecasts of 65,000. By the way, that upward revision to the July numbers, it was 104 previous. Now it's 106. That's not really news, that revision. Let's get sector specific here. Leisure and hospitality and construction performed well despite a broader month-over-month slowdown in hiring. The service providing sector added 42,000, led by leisure and hospitality and professional business. along with information, while job losses occurred in trade, transport, utilities, education and health, and financial activities. The goods producing sector added 13,000 jobs, mostly due to construction and natural resources mining, while manufacturing shed 7,000 jobs. So manufacturing not yet coming back to the United States, U.S., despite all that trade war talk, you know, and the we're going to reshore our manufacturing basis. It's going to take a while before that shows up, guys. And then the big one we got yesterday was United States job openings, otherwise known as JOLTS. Job openings in the U.S. fell by 176,000 to 7.18 million in July. That is the lowest level since September of 2024 and well below market expectations of 7.4 million. It was a big miss in JOLTS. Largest declines came from healthcare and social assistance, arts and entertainment and recreation, mining and logging. Regionally, openings dropped the most in the South, followed by the Northeast. Look, guys, we're kind of like leveled off here, 7.18 thousand. And again, a lot of these are fake. They're just not real jobs. And that's important because of some of this information we got in this article in Reuters. U.S. labor market softening as job openings hit a 10-month low and hiring remains tepid. U.S. job openings fell to a 10-month low in July, and there were more unemployed people than positions available for the first time since the COVID-19 pandemic. Data consistent with easing labor market conditions and supporting expectations the Federal Reserve would cut rates this month. Despite cooling demand for workers, layoffs remained relatively low. The Labor Department report showed on Wednesday fewer workers are engaging in job hopping. There were 0.99 job openings for every unemployed person, down from 1.05 in June, and the first drop below the 1.0 mark since April of 2022. People were making a big deal out of that fewer openings than unemployed people. Again, most of those openings aren't real, so I don't put too much stock in that, but it does show you weakening in the job market. We also got United States Challenger job cuts. This one came out just a few minutes ago. U.S. employers announced 85,979 job cuts for the month of August. That is up by 39% from July and 13% higher than the same month last year. It's also the highest level in 3 months and the highest for any August month since 2020, with pharmaceuticals, financials, and tech leading the cuts. So it was not a good month for job cuts. Now, this chart, all right, here's your August job cuts, 86,000. Doesn't look that alarming, especially when viewed compared to this big spike that we got in March. That big spike in March, though, that was your federal government layoffs and firings and the DOGE, all that stuff. We remember hearing about that. But this is a lot worse than August of last year, and it's the worst August since 2020. So that's kind of important here. That does show, even though layoffs are not yet an alarming trend, they are trending in the wrong direction. Case in point, initial jobless claims. They came in at 230,000 for the week ending August 30th. That is up from the 229,000 the prior week. So we have seen pretty much since the middle of July, we've seen these layoffs, these job cuts, people going on the initial unemployment claims start to tick up, although still kind of range bound where we've been, the upper end of the range for the last year or so. And the one data point that looks all right here is continuing claims in the U.S. They decreased to 1,940,000 for the week ending August 23rd. That's down from 1,944,000 in the prior week. All right, so we got a 4,000 job tick down in continuing claims. 4,000 fewer people filing for continuing unemployment. It's a rounding error, guys. And once again, this could very well just be people dropping out of the labor market, just giving up hope and saying, I'm not going to look for work anymore. And again, continuing claims pretty much since the end of May have been elevated. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the American Eagle story here. American Eagle stock soars 20%. As the retailer says, Sydney Sweeney campaign is their best to date and beats earnings. American Eagle said Wednesday its partnership with Sydney Sweeney has been its best advertising campaign to date as it announced fiscal second quarter earnings that beat expectations. The company's splashy yet controversial campaign with the Euphoria star led to some criticism and blowback, but the launch, coupled with the recent partnership with Taylor Swift's new fiance, Travis Kelce, has led to new customer acquisition and positive traffic across channels. American Eagle stock soared more than 20% in after-hours trading on Wednesday. Earnings per share, 45 cents, blew away estimates of 21 cents. Revenue of $1.28 billion, better than the $1.24 billion expected. The company's reported net income for the three-month period that ended August 2nd was $77.6 million. That's compared with $77.3 million a year earlier. Sales fell to $1.28 billion, down slightly from $1.29 billion a year earlier. That's not so good. Sales declined there, but again, a lot of that was already priced in. For the current quarter, American Eagle is expecting comparable sales to be up in the low single-digit range. That's better than the 0.9% uptick analysts had expected. It's expecting the same trend during the fourth quarter. So far this year, American Eagle's performance has been marred by merchandising missteps, tariffs, and uncertain consumer that's been more selective when spending money on products like clothes and shoes. To turn things around, American Eagle launched its campaign with Sweeney ahead of the crucial back-to-school shopping season. But in some ways, that also backfired when it incited outrage from some customers. And yet, some customers were outraged that people would rather look at an attractive young woman in a apparel commercial than a obese person. Apparently, in a country that is constantly in search of the next thing to be outraged by, I guess that's what passes for outrage. Well, you can take that outrage all the way to the bank because American Eagle stock is 26.3% higher ahead of the opening bell, trading at $17.23, up big this morning. But again, we're just kind of like right back to where we started the year at, guys. So this Sydney Sweeney ad was very successful. It got people talking about the brand, but all it really did was negate the negativity that had built up in the stock at the beginning of the year as consumers remain strapped for cash because of the rising cost of living. Now we got some of the AI names also reported their earnings this morning. Salesforce shares drop as weak revenue forecast signals delayed AI returns. Are the AI returns delayed or were they never real to begin with? I guess only time will tell, but hey, they should get here any day now. Let's just pump another $1 trillion in CapEx into this industry. Phase three profit, right? Salesforce shares dropped nearly 7% before the bell Thursday after the cloud software provider's weak third quarter revenue forecast hinted at delayed returns from its AI investments. Rising investor bets on AI-driven cloud companies are pressuring them to deliver hefty returns on their billion-dollar investments in the breakthrough technology, but economic uncertainty has forced customers to pull back on spending. Salesforce has rapidly rolled out AI across its cloud services. In late 2024, it commercially launched Agentforce, an AI agent platform to automate tasks, streamline operations, and help lift margins. The company forecast third quarter revenue between $10.25 and $10.29 billion, with the midpoint coming in below analysts' average estimate of $10.29 billion. The cloud software provider also announced a $20 billion increase to its existing share buyback program, but that did little to cheer investors concerned about the dour forecast. Salesforce stock is paying the price this morning. Let's get an accurate mark here. The stock is down 6.05%, trading at $240.90. That's off by more than $15 this morning. We also got earnings from Figma. The shares plunge as earnings miss lofty post-IPO expectations. You guys may recall Figma's IPO was ridiculously successful. The stock ran like the blazes on its first day of trading, continued for several days after that. It has since come back down to earth, as these things often do. Figma's shares fell more than 15% in pre-market trading on Thursday, following a modest first quarter earnings beat that fell short of the sky-high expectations set by its blockbuster July stock debut. The cloud-based collaborative design software platform, their widely watched IPO, set a high bar. And with shares now sharply off their peak, investors are reassessing the company's valuation amid volatility and looming share unlocks. Figma's IPO was priced at $33 a share, giving the company a valuation of $19.34 billion. The stock surged 250% on the debut, marking a standout entry to public markets. It's set to lose about $5 billion on Thursday from its $33.2 billion market cap if pre-market losses hold, with shares off more than 52% from their peak as of Wednesday's close. Adding to the pressure, the company disclosed that the lockup period for certain employees would expire later this week, potentially increasing share supply. Meanwhile, five major venture capital holders remain under an extended lockup with staggered releases through mid-2026. With just 41% of its outstanding shares available as free float, Figma stock is especially prone to volatility as limited liquidity tends to amplify price movements. We've seen that with CoreWeave stock ripping after their IPO only to sell off more than 50% after the lockup ended. Figma shares this morning down 15.5%. Let's refresh that. 17.8% lower now, trading at $56.18, off by more than 12 bucks, but still above their initial public offering price. That is worth pointing out. Meanwhile, we got another disappointing AI name this morning. C3 AI reports declining revenue and announces a new CEO to replace Seibel. Let's real quick, the CEO thing, that's not quite so alarming. The CEO abruptly stepped down earlier this year on a health scare. The guy's got some kind of autoimmune problem that's causing him to lose his vision, and he just can't function as CEO if he can't see. So they finally announced a replacement for him. That's somewhat old news. But that declining revenue for an AI company, that's not so good. Shares of enterprise AI company C3 AI fell 14% in extended trading on Wednesday after it announced fiscal first quarter results and the appointment of Stephen Ekian as its new CEO. C3 AI reported $70.3 million in revenue for the quarter, down from $87.2 million during the same period last year. The company's GAAP net loss widened to 86 cents a share loss. That's from 50 cents a year ago. So declining revenue, widening losses in a supposedly growing technology. Yeah, that's not so good. Ekian is a longtime executive who built two companies that were both acquired by Salesforce, C3 AI said. C3 AI said Ekian assumed the new role on September 1st. That declining revenue and declining or widening loss, not so good. That stock is down 13%. Now, okay, it's doing a little bit better now, 9.7% lower, trading just above $15, off by about $1.60 this morning. Meanwhile, in the private credit and private equity front, we got another story worth paying attention to. Goldman Sachs to buy $1 billion worth of T. Rowe stock as the firms team up. Why are they teaming up? They're teaming up to rob you. That's what they're doing. Goldman Sachs will invest as much as $1 billion in T. Rowe Price and team up with the asset manager to sell private market products to retail investors. Again, guys, selling private market products to retail investors, that means dump crap into your pension, your 401k, and your IRA. The unusual arrangement means Goldman will use its balance sheet to hold equity in T. Rowe, whose stock has tumbled more than 50% from its 2021 peak, probably because they own a lot of this crap. The companies will collaborate on a range of investments for retirement savers and wealthy investors, they said in an emailed statement. Goldman will make a series of open market purchases to amass up to 3.5% of T. Rowe's stock, potentially making the Wall Street Bank one of its five biggest shareholders, according to the statement. It will be Goldman's only investment in an outside asset management firm. The tie-up is the latest sign that the biggest financial firms are competing hard to win over wealthy Americans and those with 401k plans on the merits of private equity, credit, and infrastructure strategies. In other words, the search for exit liquidity, they are all eyeballing your retirement. Goldman just can't wait to team up with T. Rowe Price and dump all that sludge into your nest egg. It's basically the Wall Street bailout is happening, guys. I've been saying this for months. This is the bailout. It's happening quietly. It's happening behind closed doors without Congress, without the president, all right? Wall Street is parking all of the things that they know aren't worth what they say they're worth. They're selling all that stuff into your retirement because they know the government will print money and bail out your retirement. So this is the bailout. It is happening right now. Know what's in your 401k, guys. Open up those fund prospectuses. Read what's in them. Chances are you own this stuff. And if you don't already, you probably will soon. And now we got to talk about this one. And again, this is Steve Carell in Big Short all over again when he was complaining about the golden age of fraud. And he said, even baseball is full of fraud. Well, it's 2025. And we're not doing baseball anymore. We've moved on to the National Basketball Association, NBA, to investigate alleged $28 million payment to Kawhi Leonard. Here's what the punishment could be. Los Angeles Clippers star Kawhi Leonard allegedly received $28 million for a no-show job from a company connected to Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, according to a bombshell report from The Athletic's Pablo Torre. On his investigative show, Pablo Torre finds out, Torre reported that Ballmer, the former CEO of Microsoft, that's interesting, exploited a loophole to pay Leonard the $28 million as a way to avoid the NBA salary cap. According to Torre, the alleged job was with Aspiration, the now bankrupt sustainability-focused fintech company in which Ballmer was an investor. The company agreed to pay KL2 Aspire, that's an LLC owned by Leonard, for an unknown task. Gee, what was that unknown task? You think maybe it meant playing for the Clippers? The contract between the two entities had a clause in it that stated Leonard could decline to proceed with any action desired by the company, which Tor claimed gave Leonard the ability to collect the $28 million while not doing any endorsements or similar work. Torre said there was no evidence that Leonard did any work for Aspiration and that the contract stated Leonard would only be paid by Aspiration if he remained on the Clippers. So what was going on here? The owner of the Clippers was using his other company in order to circumvent the NBA salary cap to pay extra money to Kawhi, basically in violation of the rules. And by the way, if you were an investor in Aspiration, this fintech company that they used to do this, which went bankrupt and the investors got wiped out in that bankruptcy, guess what? You got robbed by the owner of the LA Clippers. He gave your money to one of his players so that they could get around the salary cap and basically break the rules. This is fraud, guys. Investors got ripped off to break the NBA's rules. Now, look, I'm not a big fan of salary caps. You know, I'm typically a big fan of just let the free market decide, and salary caps are price controls on the price of labor for the National Basketball Association. And it's a perfectly legitimate argument or a perfectly legitimate debate to be had about whether or not there should be salary caps. All right? I like to call it the Yankees rule. The Yankees went out and just bought players to make sure they didn't have to play against them in the World Series, won several championships that way. And so people use that as an argument for salary caps to make sure smaller teams in smaller cities can compete. But this is not a debate about salary caps because the salary cap is there. All right. The debate was before they put it in place. The fact is the salary cap is there. And these guys broke the rules, arguably committed fraud, a crime, in order to get around them. This is fraud, guys, any way you look at it. And it's in basketball. What the hell, man? $28 million from a defunct, bankrupt fintech firm for a no-show job that basically says the guy doesn't have to do anything as long as he plays for the Clippers. And this company is owned by the same guy who owns the Clippers. This is the Clippers lying to the NBA to get around the salary cap. It's BS. And honestly, I hope the team gets fined. I hope the guy gets kicked out of the league. But you know what? They'll probably just be a slap on the wrist. Nothing will happen to him because we don't take white-collar fraud seriously in this country. We never do. Oh, it's a sad day at sea. Well, guys, I just want to say thank you very much for having your coffee with the Melonheads. Hey, everybody, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out. I'm sure M&J is just pounding the table on getting that like count up in the comments here. Thank you, M&J, for everything you do for the channel. Hey, don't forget that subscribe button. Also, you new guys, thank you as well to my Patreon supporters on Patreon and YouTube, my magnanimous Melonheads. You guys rock. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Watch for that non-farm payrolls tomorrow morning. And until next time, live small and dream big.